What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Gravity Leadership Podcast, where we explore how to center our lives and our leadership in the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ.
In the midst of the disruptive cultural shockwaves of the 21st century.
Join us as we learn to take the love of God seriously as the force that holds all of us and everything together.
Hey, Ben. Hey, Christy. You know what everyone needs?
Food. What? Pumpkin spice shelter. Latte?
Shelter, yeah. Okay.
Clothing.
I guess there's a lot of answers to this question, right?
I love that you went straight to pumpkin spice latte, though, Christy. That's pretty good.
Yes.
I mean, it's fall.
That's, yeah, PSL. PSL.
PSL for CP.
PSL for COP. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody needs products and services. Right? Everybody.
Right. Yeah.
Think about your life and think about how often
we're using a service right now.
And or services.
I'm using products and services right now to record this podcast intro, as are all of you. Products and services.
Yep. And so, astute listener, you may have noticed that products and services have begun to tell you about themselves on our podcast.
Yes.
We changed podcast hosts and now are letting ads into our podcast. It's a way for us to generate some income, and also
which is helpful.
This is helpful. We want this thing to keep going, just like you do.
Also, and ads are becoming more ubiquitous in podcast spaces now. But just a caveat: there's two things that are true about these commercials. Mm-hmm. One, everybody needs products and/or services. And two, we have absolutely no idea or control about the products or services you hear.
Yes, the ads are what is called dynamically placed. And so it just depends on, it's like we're connected to this ad network. We were able to basically say no to certain categories of ads. So
I would say we have some control.
Yeah, we
little
do.
Control.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Very little.
There's certain categories that we said, nah, not so much. Anyway.
Yeah, but if you're listening and you know you get an ad for a local liposuction clinic and you're wondering I think you should just email him at ben@gravelyleadership.com and ask him why do you think I need liposuction?
I remember that plastic surgery was one of the ones that we said no to, so they won't actually. But you might get Comcast, you know? I mean, things like that, you know? So, anyway.
Okay. Plus, all right. Well,
a plastic surgeon just helped my kid, by the way.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. It's so, not all about Christy,
I'm not
going right?
to put down yeah. all. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For
so
sure.
my kid sure. headed a ball, hit the pole, playing soccer,
ooh.
And a plastic surgeon was in the audience and ran down and said, follow me to my office in the stands.
I'm just saying like that.
Yes.
Usually it's like, is anyone a doctor? Like, right.
He came
Is anyone
down.
A plastic surgeon?
He did. And then, and like 10 stitches in my kid's face. I mean, the scar is going to look so much better because that plastic surgeon did it.
You are correct. My daughter, who's now 22, when she was 2 years old, cracked her head on a brick wall and like cut it open, and a plastic surgeon sewed it up, and you can barely see the scar. So anyway,
and he did it for
We've got nothing against them, but anyway, that's okay. The whole thing is, Matt, you're just saying, hey, we have some ads. Yeah. This is a bit of a change.
Just roll with it.
It's just a way remember, to support
just remember
us,
every time you hear it that your life is full of products and/or services. Christy, I am curious. Did the plastic surgeon offer you like free Botox? You know, like while you were there, while he's like stitching up.
I should have asked.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I've got some wrinkles.
Yeah.
I also would love it. So Christy's getting her doctorate of ministry from Denver Seminary. Yeah. Not as we speak, but during this season. And it would be so funny, Christy, once you have your demon, if somebody's like, is there a doctor? You could be like, excuse me, I have a demon.
Excuse me, I am
I
a doctor.
Can help like, you.
Strut, but probably not the right kind.
Strut down to the person with cardiac arrest. And you could point to that person and say, you should feel all your emotions right now as you having a heart attack because God gave you those emotions.
She's the kind of doctor I am. Here's how I can help you.
And then be like, my work here is done. And strut back into your seat. Okay, we're making fun of heart attacks. It's probably time to get into this interview, right?
Probably.
This is not the intro Angie Ward deserved or wanted, but it's the one she's going to get.
We don't know. She thinks this is delightful.
I did mention the demon at Denver, which is
her program.
Angie's connected to Denver. Yep. We're talking to her about this book, Kingdom and Country, Following Jesus in the Land That You Love, written by a number of authors who contributed to how do we show up in the public square as Christians when America is losing its mind.
How do we do it?
Basically. Yeah. That's my subtitle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a big question right now. Such a big question.
It is.
Such a big question.
I mean, it's not too soon to start talking about the 2024 election.
Right.
I mean, we are 2 years away, but I feel like things I kind of dread it.
The midterms are coming. Yeah. There's some sort of like a national summit on Christian nationalism that's happening right now. People are addressing like Sam Perry and Andrew Whitehead that we've had on the podcast kind of like part of this.
Okay.
But anyway, though they're asking the same questions, like what they're basically identifying this as a clear and present danger and sort of what to do about it. Cause it's just gotten, the days have gotten less subtle and demand just way more from us as followers of Jesus than they used to. So Angie's book, I think, can help along with other resources. So,
So if you don't want to be a Christian nationalist and you also don't want to bury your head in the sand, listen up, open up your ear holes.
All right. Here we go.
Today, we welcome back Dr. Angie Ward to the Gravity Leadership Podcast to chat about the second book in her Kingdom Conversations series that she's editing. She is a leadership author and teacher with 30 years of experience in church, parachurch, and Christian higher ed ministry. She's an award-winning regular contributor to Christianity Today and holds a PhD in ministry leadership from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Currently, she serves as Assistant Director of the Doctor of Ministry Program at Denver Seminary. Angie, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, guys. It's good to be back and to see you all.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the Doctor of Ministry Program at Denver, you may have heard, listener, Christy talk about getting her doctorate, and you're in this program, Christy. Angie. She wants to talk about her book. Give her some feedback. How is this program going? Let her have it.
Yeah, I recommend the program. Yeah, it's awesome.
Let me have it while I'm in charge of grading your thesis. Let me have it. That's a great idea.
Before you do this approval of this pre-proposal thing, I'm going to send you next week. You know,
exactly.
Yeah, this is really cool that there's this connection. So Angie was at a church on the south side of town where Ben and I live, and we got to meet with Angie when she lived in Indianapolis. And
then
it was a couple years ago now, I think, that you took a job out at Denver Sem, and Christy's now in her program. So there's lots of connections here, even without Kevin Bacon. That's great.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come to her church and preach in a couple weeks.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, is that the
There's
church?
Like more overlap.
Christy, I didn't make this connection.
Yeah, Nova. That's the church Nova you're preaching church. At.
Nova Church.
All right. In Denver.
So well, if you're in the Denver area, you want to hear Christy. Want to hear Christy preach?
Yep. That's awesome.
And meet Dr. Ward. Be great.
Secretly, wow. Secretly, Angie, I knew that Christy loved her doctoral ministry program, so I set her up just to like.
I know.
I do. I feel like I'm a little evangelist for Denver Seminary.
You're an evangelist for everything.
Everything
you love.
You
no,
love,
not
Christy.
Everything. Only things I love. And
well, that's sure.
I love it.
Things like pumpkin spice latte and Denver Seminary. These are the things.
Wow, we wake up there with a PSL. Wow. We have a good time, Christy, don't we? At Den Sim, we have a good time.
We do. It's really good. It's really good.
Yeah.
So
it's fun.
Well,
and it's not. Yeah,
this podcast brought to you by Denver
Seminary.
She's going to start evangelizing.
We got to get to your book.
Yeah.
She is. You know, you can't. You can take Christy out of the pulpit, but you can't take the pulpit out of Christy. That's just how it goes with her.
That's right.
Well, we're talking about this book, Kingdom and Country. The subtitle is Following Jesus in the Land That You Love. It's part, as I mentioned before, of a series called Kingdom Conversations. Can you just say more about how this series came to be, what your hopes are for it?
Yeah, so the first book in the series came out a year ago, and it was When the Universe Cracks, Living as God's People in Times of Crisis, and I was on here talking with you guys about that. So that book was born out of COVID, the early days of the pandemic, but this is with NAB Press, and so they are very much a discipleship-focused publisher, and so they said, instead of just doing a book about COVID, let's talk about crisis in general, and let's start doing a series of these conversations with multiple contributors. And so each book in the series has 10 contributors, and they asked me, gave me the honor of being the general editor of it. And so the third one, little teaser, is coming out next spring. It's going to be the least of these, Practicing a Faith Without Margin. When we were talking about what topics for each of these books, I mean, we had kind of the crisis one, When the Universe Cracks, and then I just said, what about, we need to do Kingdom and Country. I mean, this, and we talked about this, you know, a couple of years ago, and now here we are, it's coming out right as in midterm elections, and things are, you know, worse than they were 2 years ago, arguably more and more polarized. And so I love all the contributions, all the chapters. I love that it's a discipleship focused book. It's not kind of, you know, which side should you take? It's let's look at, all of these issues through our discipleship and relationship with Christ first and foremost. So that's kind of the vision for the whole series and this book in particular.
And now, a word from a sponsor.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, let's get back into our conversation.
You have like 10 contributors for this book, including friends that we've had on this podcast. And I'm curious if you just can kind of give us like specific topics. What are some of the topics that are really in this book and the shape of it?
Yeah, so the shape of this book follows, we're kind of getting a similar flow for each of the books, but we start out, the first chapter is just, can we have a, the title is, can we have a conversation? Like, can we even talk about this, these topics, you know, without canceling, without shutting down, without all the things, you know? Then we go into a theology of kingdom, kind of, because we're talking about, if it's about kingdom and country, we should understand what are we talking about when we mean kingdom. And then there's a chapter on kind of history. And then, so then we start going into what does this look like to be dual citizens on earth and in heaven, kingdom citizens and on earth as followers of Christ? What does that look like for us individually? What does that look like for us corporately as a church, as ministry leaders? Juliette Liu, probably sure you've had on this before, you know, she talks about like politics, pulpit, and pew. And then Mandy Smith ends with just a wonderful kind of a lament, a liturgy of kind of lament, repentance, and a new pledge of allegiance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, what strikes me is that at least half of the 10 contributors are like either personal friends of ours, like people we've spent hours and hours with, or people that we've had on the podcast and just adore. Yeah. So these are, I think these are key and crucial voices that you've brought together for this. Angie, you already referenced this, how high tensions are right now politically. Mm-hmm. I remember I was 8 years old. I was 8 years old in the election of 84. Hmm. And my friend, who I was playing in the backyard with, he pulled me aside and he said, "Hey, who are you voting for?" And I think he meant like,
oh,
who's your family voting for?
Yeah.
And I grew up as a Kennedy Catholic, which I don't think though they exist a whole lot. Maybe they do exist still, but it was kind of a unique blend of politic that is hard to carve out these days. And I said I think my parents are voting for Mondale. And my friend Jeremy said, "Oh, my parents are voting for Ronald Reagan." And I felt like something like shifted. I felt like something shifted in our friendship at that point.
Wow.
But we still played together, you know, Mondale or Reagan or even Clinton and Bush. I feel like people disagreed. But now, you know, now you have like threats of armed violence if elections don't go a certain way, or if politicians get investigated for crimes. Like, how, in your sense here, has this always been here and it's just now coming to the surface, or has something shifted to escalate and intensify this polarization?
I feel like something has shifted for sure. And I mean, so I talked to my dad, who's 92, and he's a military veteran, and even he's saying, "I've not seen anything like this." So it's not just my half a century perspective, it's his almost a century perspective. I think there's been a rise, and you know, now we know what it's called. It's called Christian nationalism. I didn't know what that was called several years ago, even in our church in the Midwest. And I would hear comments about, you know, professional players not kneeling for the flag and stuff. And I was like, where is this coming from? And now in recent years, there's been more talk of like this phenomenon. I think it is a phenomenon that wasn't around before. And like you said, it's just become so, not just polarized, but like you said, with threat of violence, so visceral to people. It just becomes part of, and then there's cancel culture on top of that, I think. And so you put that together and it's just a explosive mix.
Yeah. You mentioned having a name for something that you didn't know existed before, Christian nationalism. And I think there's a lot of, I see a lot of Christians defending Christian nationalism. And then I see a lot of Christians critiquing Christian nationalism. And sometimes in that conversation, I think that patriotism or love for country, which is in your subtitle, and nationalism get conflated or confused. And I know your book addresses this a bit. Can you help us understand the difference between what is like patriotism and what is nationalism, and how we can know that difference in our lives?
Yeah, and I should mention this book is these next two books in the series are also co-sponsored by Missio Alliance. And so in conversation with some of the contributors last week at another event, they were really helpful about trying to tease this out. I mean, they said, and I would agree, patriotism is it's a love of country and of place, kind of a loyalty sense of place. But when it becomes nationalism, it becomes idolized above everything else, and it becomes of primary importance. It almost becomes a kind of a test of orthodoxy, if you will, instead of and there's one right or wrong. Not you can be patriotic for Canada, and you can be patriotic for England, and you can be the UK, and you can be patriotic for America. But it's like, no, it's this one or nothing, or above all else. And so I think there's a weight to it. And I think one of the clues is what is stirred in you emotionally when you talk about this stuff. And so if it's this very charged reaction, I think that's showing that there's something going on that's making it of an importance that maybe it should not be.
Mm, yeah.
That's helpful. Because I feel like a lot of times people, they don't know the difference between that. And so I think that's really helpful for me and hopefully for our listeners. I'm curious, what would you say is the primary challenge as U.S. Christians, as we engage in the public square and in politics? Like there's a lot out there, but what would you kind of focus in on and say, this is our primary challenge?
I think a lot of people would say it's, to learn how to, to have, conversation or I don't know, is kind of the application of stuff. But I think it's the primary problem is this priority question. And so like this book, Kingdom and Country, it's really not a for or against Christian nationalism. It's not a kind of a pushing against one side or the other of that. It really intended to be discipleship above all else, and then that's the lens that we look at all this through. And so I think the main problem is that we're making this question the main thing instead of discipleship the main thing. And so I think we're not putting things in their proper hierarchy to start out. Yeah. And so, so I mean, to me that, when I would ask questions at our church in the Midwest about, just like, where is this in the Bible, or what does Jesus say? What's Jesus' example? I got looked at like, what an odd question. Like, what does this have to do with anything? And to me, that has everything to do with this issue. Mm-hmm. And it should be our primary, focused on Christ and on kingdom. And then how does everything else filter through that lens, I think.
Yeah. 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 Angie, I think of two things when I hear you say that. The first is that there's a whole group of people that we work with that grew up in what they self-describe as kind of like a culture war household. So they were scared to read Harry Potter, and they were scared to go to the movies, right? And I'm not saying that did bad work for everyone, but for a lot of the people we talk to, they are trying to not be that anymore. Like they don't want to rage against the culture. They want to actually cultivate the kingdom.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the dominant imagination that these people have is, this is how I'm politically active. I don't go to Disney World. I pick at a movie that has too many swears in it, or those kinds of things. So that's one area. And then the other area is kind of like this, just withdrawal, right? So let's just withdraw into our churches and let's do discipleship right, and let's kind of wash our hands of, for instance, any kind of protest against injustice. Let's wash our hands of any kind of political activism at all, campaigning. And I feel like one of the things this book tries to hold before us is that we have to reckon with our malformation as Americans and our need to be formed in the kingdom before we can develop a political imagination as American Christians. Am I reading that right?
Yes, I think that's an excellent way of putting it. One of the chapters is Michelle Reyes talking about how we all have national narratives. Each country has a narrative or a dominant narrative of how it was founded and what its purpose is. And we the four of us each have a different understanding of how our country was formed and what its place should be, and And so we need to wrestle with that. Sean Palmer talks about just, you know, what does it mean to really pledge allegiance and what does that look like? So I think it's a good way of putting it. Tina Bosch is one of the contributors you may not be as familiar with. She's actually does a lot of work with Lifeway Women's Ministries, but she was, before moving back to the United States, to Nashville, she was a missionary kid, pastor's kid, missionary, missionary family and couple around the world. And so she talks about what it's like to really feel like you're not fully part of any culture or country. And we should feel a sense of displacement this side of eternity. And we're uncomfortable with that. So we hold on to something that I think makes us feel safe or comfortable or in control or in power. When really, if we don't feel tension between kingdom and country, I think that's another clue that maybe we've swallowed something whole.
We'll be right back.
The Gravity Podcast is sponsored by the Gravity Formation Course, our 12-month cohort-based training in practical spiritual formation, where you'll learn how to notice how God is already at work in your life so you can participate more fully in the life that God shares with us. It is a discipleship process that goes beyond just gaining more knowledge and trying out some new practices. In the Gravity Formation Course, we go below the surface of our lives so that we can notice and name our deepest desires in God's presence and to discern how God is at work in those desires to lead us toward holistic flourishing, more transformation, more life, more joy, more love. We've trained hundreds of people from all over the world in this formation framework, and it's helped many people to have a sense of God at work in their lives and learn to be more at home in God's love. If you'd like to learn more, go to gravitycommons.com/formation.
Let's get back to the show. When Rhea says in that chapter that we should feel some kind of displacement or stranger or alien or I'm not from this place, I couldn't help but think of the one of the dominant myths or stories that is told within Christian nationalism, which isn't displacement, but it's replacement, right? It's actually this story that this actually, white people, is your home. And people are taking your home from you. And so what I think the gift is of this book is we can actually say that that's not just unhelpful. It's not just borrowed from the Nazis. I mean, those things should be enough. But theologically, it's untrue. Yeah. Is what I hear you saying, Angie? Is that
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you're getting it. And those 10 authors do. You know, I get to be the steward of those 10 voices, which is great, you know. So, because they bring so much wisdom and experience, and you know, in choosing the different contributors, we tried to go with. You can see we didn't just go with, American white males. Like we've got Karen Wilk, who's Canadian. We've got Mandy Smith, who's now back in Australia. You know, we've got Sean Palmer, who's African American from Texas. We've got Tina Bosch, who's a missionary. So we're trying to bring multiple voices. Because if you do any amount of talking with people outside this country, like there's some people who thought this book is not nearly strong enough, and most of those were coming from outside the United States. They're like they're seeing something from the outside, you know. But we're trying to say, okay, let's try to at least have some help, start a conversation without just shutting down and canceling, which evangelicals have been leading the way in that for decades. So boycotts,
it's really
not seeing movies, all the things you mentioned.
Yes. We about a year ago, maybe two now, we had a Christian professor from a seminary in the Netherlands come on our podcast and talk about what it was like to be an evangelical Christian in the Netherlands. And their story has is different, right? So their story, when they threw off their monarchy and set up their democracy, it was the socialists and the Christians banding together to do it. Hmm. And so the Christians there were united with socialists against like authoritarian monarchy. And that shapes the way that their government is formed, the way that Christians imagine, you know, there just isn't, he says, there just isn't the juice that I have to pay lots of taxes because we're taking care of each other. And that's what we do, right? Whereas here, there was this oppressive government that we had to throw off, and we sort of threw it off with sort of, in the national myth, right? Like these commoners rising up and throwing off the oppression, right? And how that then translates into our dominant meaning-making systems as Christians and as you know, political agents in our culture. And I do think that's one of the strengths of this book, is that the only way we see our blind spots is be in conversation with people who don't have our blind spots.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the global church does that for us.
Yeah. And we need to allow them to do that and to give, that's a gift that we need to accept from them. But of course we've got it all figured out a lot of times, you know. You know, you talk about like the Netherlands, or, you know, we had a foreign exchange student living with us a few years ago, a high school student from Germany, and his mother was Spanish. So he had a very unique perspective. And he was at our house, by the way, during the 2016 presidential election when Trump beat Clinton. And so try to explain the Electoral College to that kid. But I mean, so, but just when you brought up Hitler or Germany's past, they have been taught, they have wrestled through and just went never again. And they recognize their failings as a country and a society and what they had allowed and what happened. And, you know, other countries have done that, and others not so well. And I think we need to be, we've just never really done that in our country. It's like, because then you're anti-American. To point out any flaws, a lot of times it's anti-American. It's like, no, it's because I'm a patriot that I want this country to be the best, you know, it can be. Not in, I don't know, I've seen a shirt that says United States back-to-back World War champs. Like that's the, you know, that's not what I'm talking about. It's not about.
Oh my goodness.
Andrew, I got a shirt that tops that. I got a shirt that tops that. I went on a retreat this summer in the mountains, and I get out of the car, and the first person I see is a shirt, this guy wearing a shirt that says American until Texas secedes. It's like, all right, I guess it's going to be that kind of weekend.
Exactly.
That's it.
America. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. On a more serious note, though, I was reminded of that famous James Baldwin quote in what you're saying, Angie, where he says, "I love America more than any other country in the world, and exactly for this reason, I insist on the right to criticize her perpetually."
Yes, amen. That's that's great. Love it.
Well, Angie, as we wind down here, like I would not be telling the truth if I didn't own that I feel trepidation and a bit of anxiety about the 2024 election. I don't have confidence that, for instance, the law will be followed, or election interference won't happen, or there won't be another storming of the cap. Like, I just don't have trust that this kind of stuff won't happen. And there's very little, like, I feel like I don't feel like I can do much about that. You know, like sitting in my house in a suburb of Indianapolis feels very too big for me, much bigger than me. What do you hope your readers take away from this book as they think about their place in the United States, as they think about upcoming contentious, polarizing elections? What message or what hope or what charge do you hope this book leaves them with?
Yeah, well, like you, I mean, I don't, when I look around at human attempts and systems, I can get very despairing very quickly. You know, I can doom scroll all that. And so I think my hope with this book and these conversations is for us to examine where we are putting our hope, first of all, and realize that our hope is never to be gained in governments or who's sitting on the presidential, you know, seat or a throne, you know, in whatever country you're in. You know, our hope is in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And again, with this being, you know, a focus on discipleship, instead of debating kind of down, you know, down here, let's focus our attention, you know, on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, on growing as disciples, instead of trying to win arguments or culture wars. You know, I think it's distracting us from what we really should be doing to become more Christ-like.
Yeah. Well, the book, again, is called Kingdom and Country, Following Jesus in the Land That You Love, even if it's a land that you feel like you have a complicated relationship with.
That's right. You? Yeah, your relationship. It's complicated, right?
It's complicated, right? But yeah. I think we all do want to love where we live. Angie Ward, thanks for being with us today. How can people we started our conversation talking about this doctorate ministry program at Denver. Maybe just give us a couple moments on what that is and how people can find out more about that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you can talk to Christy and she will evangelize and convince you to apply.
This is true.
Yeah. DenverSeminary.edu. I'm assistant director of our doctoral program. And so if you have any interest in that, would love to talk to you. So I think Christy would attest. We do, I think, a pretty good job of like formation, not just training, but formation for like real life ministry for kind of the church now and the church that is to come and around the world. So Christy's one of our many fine students that I just have just absolute joy of working with. It's just an honor to shepherd those, work with those students. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, can I just say in my evangelism, that is what is different about Denver Seminary is that you and other professors shepherd our hearts. We learn academically, but we walk away more... as we journey with Jesus, our hearts grow bigger with love for him and asking the questions, what does it look like to follow him more faithfully? And so that shepherding of our hearts, I think, really comes through. So that's different
awesome.
About Denver Seminary.
Yeah. Oh, yay. That's awesome. Thanks.
Well, Angie, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gravity Leadership Podcast. If you're finding it helpful, we'd love it if you'd tell your friends about it.
Ratings and reviews online also help others find the podcast. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
Joining our Gravity community is free. You'll get our latest content delivered straight to your inbox, as well as an email most Fridays with curated links to articles we found interesting or helpful. To join us, go to gravityleadership.com/join.
Our show is produced by Ben Sternke and Matt Tebbe. Aaron Sternke edits and mixes the podcast, and you can check out his work at aaronsternke.com.
We'd love to hear from you. To record a question or comment for us, go to gravityleadership.com/message and click the Start Record button.
You can also email us at podcast@gravityleadership.com. Catch you next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.